I'd like to call this meeting of the Taney County Commission this Monday, July 1st, 2013, to order. And I would like to offer an opening prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for all good things. And we especially thank you for thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We ask this morning, Lord, that you be with the families of the 19 firefighters that lost their life in Arizona. Comfort those families, Lord, and give them strength through this tragedy. We ask, Father, that you be with us this day and direct us in the decisions that we make on behalf of the citizens of this county. These things we ask in thy name. Amen. Commissioner Strahan, if you'll lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Commission remarks. Are there any remarks from any commission member? Road vacations. Frank, would you join us? Randy, whomever else?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm well.
If I'm not mistaken, our Missouri statutes provide that 4 times a year, vacations may be presented to the county court / county commission, and this is one of those times.
Yes, sir. And I believe the single matter up for today is the petition for vacation of a portion of Cook Road, which has been prepared and submitted by at least 12 interested residents. If I may make a remark about this process, though, just because it's interesting and it maybe will be educational for some who are listening. This is a petition to vacate a portion of an existing road, Cook Road, here within the county. That process is set up by statutes that go back, as near as I can tell, darn near 100 years. They vary depending upon the situation, believe it or not. The statutes evolve, and some procedures have different requirements than the others. This is a petition to vacate a portion of an existing road under the procedure that was set up, and I think it may have been set up as early as the 1930s or earlier. It calls for the petition to be placed in writing, signed by a certain number of residents within that township, which has been done here, and then at the term day it's presented. But the only formal step that is taken at this time is to actually read the petition out loud, and so that's what I'm going to be doing today. I'm not sure why they did it this way, but they did it this way back in a time when perhaps it was important to read things out loud to folks because there weren't copy machines available. Yeah, well, and perhaps that is true as well. And certainly not computers and all the technology that we have now. So if you'll bear with me, I'm going to read this.
Yes, sir.
And I make no representations on the entertainment value of any. This is in the matter of the application for vacation of the following road.
All right.
A portion of Cook Road, located in Taney County, Missouri. And attached to the petition is an Exhibit A, which has the formal legal description of the property. And if it's okay with the court, we'll simply incorporate by reference without reading that description.
Yes, sir.
The remainder of the petition reads, the undersigned are 12 in number and are residents of Swan Township. The undersigned seek an order vacating a portion of Cook Road, approximately 2,950 feet long, located in Swan Township, and more fully described in Exhibit A, which is attached hereto and incorporated herein. The portion of Cook Road to be vacated is useless, and the repairing of same is an unreasonable burden upon the district. The portion of Cook Road to be vacated crosses or touches on lands owned by Mr. Arthur Dwight Brockman, and a copy of this petition will be personally served on him as provided by law. At least 20 days before the term day at which the petition is presented, notice of the filing of the petition will be made by posting notice in at least 3 public places in Swan Township. Wherefore, the undersigned respectfully request that the County Commission enter an order vacating the portion of Cook Road described in Exhibit A and that the commission makes such other orders as it deems just and proper. And this is signed by 14 citizens of Swan Township. In addition, I'd like to note that we have on file the certification of personal service of notice of the filing of the petition for vacation of a portion of Cook Road, reciting that Mr. Arthur Dwight Rockman was served with a copy of the petition by Sheriff Jimmy Russell. We also have a certificate of posting of notice of the petition, which recites that on May 13, 2013, Harlan Collins posted notifications to vacate a portion of Cook Road at the beginning and ending of the road, as well as Kissy Mills Post Office, Taneyville Post Office, and Taneyville Cafe. Thank you.
Are you aware of any remonstrances that have been filed regarding this? Any opposition?
I'm aware of no remonstrances or opposition.
Randy? Neither am I. I'm just, for the record, let it show that there haven't been any remonstrances that have been filed in opposition. And the next step?
The next step is that at the next term day, the commission is empowered to act on the petition to vacate and either grant it, or if a remonstrance has been filed, to take that up.
So that would be first court date or commission date in October?
I think that's right. First Monday in October, whatever the next term day is.
Then we will advise our girls upstairs to set that up, and we'll put it on the agenda. And at that time, we'll bring that back up, at which time we can either accept remonstrances, review them, and or approve the petition, correct?
Correct. Thank you.
Let me ask a question about the, Frank, there's no action taken by the county commission on a vacated road other than the property owner themselves closing the road through either a gate process or barrier of some sort? Or do you know? There's no obligation to the county to once the road's been vacated to close it themselves, is there?
No, I'm not aware of anything in the statutes that sets out what steps the county has to take to close it.
Okay.
I guess it would be up to Road and Bridge and to use their best judgment on how to basically close it down.
If I'm not mistaken, once a road has been vacated, then half of the road on either side goes to the property owner that lies on either side, and they then assume ownership of that portion of the road. In this case, it runs through one individual's property, so he would receive ownership of the entire strip of property.
That's my understanding as well. And as far as the physical closing it down so people don't drive on it and stuff like that, I assume Road and Bridge would put up barriers or do whatever they need to do to avoid an error of that nature.
Well, I think that the property owner that owns it would have the ability to fence or do whatever the property owner.
Right. I was just concerned about a trespass, someone that didn't know the road had been closed, things like that. I didn't know whether the county had any responsibility there. So that's what I was at. It's just a simple question, and it's something to be looked at, I guess.
I think this is one of those deals where you use common sense.
Yeah. When did they start that?
Well,
you mean the use of common sense? don't make me laugh.
I'm keeping my comments to myself.
Thank you, gentlemen. Life Alert is our next item of business. I ask for this to be put on the agenda based upon a phone call that I'd received from an individual who was interested in seeing that Taney County or our Senior Services Board, provide life alerts in some form or another within Taney County. And I have discovered, obviously, that we are currently in the process of doing that through the Senior Citizens Board. And there are individuals here this morning that would speak to that. What I was going to do, had that not been the case, was ask this county commission to recommend that the Senior Services Board look into providing that. So I'm greatly not surprised, but I'm delighted that, in fact, we are doing that. Could I have you all join me, and Tammy, you as well, Pat, anyone else that would like? Just pull up one of those extra chairs to where that microphone is, if you like.
I'm not sure that... I didn't know that they were going to be here. I'm from Branson Senior Center.
Okay.
And we already have... Okay,
just,
yeah.
Why don't you all just come right on up, and we'll surround
yeah,
that microphone.
Get cozy, I guess.
Pat, what I'd like to do is to start with you and have, in fact, you tell us what we are doing through the Senior Services Board and...
January or February.
And each right. one of you, if you will, whenever yeah. you speak, if you'll give the name for the record and realize that we are recording this and that this is being broadcast live over the Internet.
My name is Pat Dooley, and I'm the person more or less leading the charge from the Senior Friendship Center. These are not Life Alert. Life Alert is a brand name.
Okay.
These are Guardian Alerts. This really is better than this, you know. It's just I wasn't expecting this. This is our units, okay? And I would like to say something before I get into explaining these. The tax board last year, the Senior Service Fund, gave us a grant to buy these. We bought a... total, I think it was 60 the first time for each, the Branson and for us, and then we bought 40 more, so we each have 100 of them, okay? At the present time, we have 97 units out. We have 23 recycled units. By that, I mean we have called people and said, are you using these? Do you still need them? We've had three or four people say no, that they turn them back into us. Of course, we've had a few deaths, and they've been returned, plus somebody's moved out of the area. We've had one unit that was, Darlene wrote down, stolen, but I like to think they took it by mistake when they moved Mom out. It won't do them any good because it won't work anywhere else. We have one unit down in Cedar Creek that was fried by lightning, and we have one pendant, which is this thing that goes around your neck, that was put into the washing machine. And we did replace it because we thought it was very important that the lady have it, okay? So that's what we have out here. But I would also like to say these are owned by the Branson Senior Center and the Forsyth Senior Center. We got the grant, and we purchased them, and we divide them. We're responsible for them. And... I was telling Mr. Hausman earlier, I am in the process right now of calling up people that we put them in a year ago. One, to make sure they check the batteries. Two, to make sure they're still using them and to remind them to use them. And I have been told, two people have told me it has saved their lives, one in Kirbyville and one in Cedar Creek. So I feel that we're really getting our money's worth out of this grant, and I really appreciate this Senior Services Tech for giving it.
Okay. My name is Fonda Olson. I'm a board member from the Branson Senior Center, and I was asked to give information and put together the request for additional money, and which we did to the Senior Service Board the other night when they had their meeting. So this is kind of a follow-up of that. As Pat said, that we now have 97 Guardian Alerts also out in the community. And we've just completed our president, our chairperson, and another, a couple, a wonderful couple by the name of Pete and Mary Ann Peterson have taken it upon themselves to personally go out and check each one of those 97 Guardian Alerts that we put out there. And out of 97, there were only about four that either they weren't needed anymore or they needed a little touch-up, and they did that. So we've got about 97 still in use. If If they were not needed anymore, then we reassigned them to some people that we currently have on the list. And by the way, we have 50. Right now we've got about 50 on a waiting list. And I know that we could certainly use a lot more. Our request that we submitted the other evening is actually for 150 additional guardian alerts just like these. And we have price shopped at various companies, and it appears that this is the best price. And we put together a request for $23,288.50. That's for the alerts and all the accessories that we need to install it, even to the point that we need a certain kind of little Phillips screwdriver to, you know, put the batteries in. So all of that is before the tax board right now. So we would appreciate your consideration for this request. I'm sorry.
Let's let all four speak, and then we'll ask questions, if that's all right with you, gentlemen. Which of you two ladies would like to go next?
No.
Tammy?
The reason that, Tammy Hagler, 911 administrator, Taney County. The reason that 911's involved in the Guardian Alert program that the senior citizens, senior boards have, is because when the person or client or citizen pushes the button on that unit, what it will do is it will dial in to 911. And what we're doing in our office is we enter a code, an emergency code, that the dispatcher sees and then can be told to the responding agencies, whichever they may be. And then this lockbox is at the site, at the person's house, and that code will open that box and it will have a key so they don't have to break into the house to respond to the emergency.
So this
request.
doesn't alert a family member, it alerts?
No. It alerts 911.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's fine. And so that's how that process goes, and that's how we're involved in it. 911 fees don't pay for it. General County revenue doesn't, except for the board costs and the grant money that they've received. And so I just wanted to fill you in on what our part of it is and how it helps emergency responders get in to help the people that have pushed the button.
Any other comments, ladies?
I would like to explain this. I'm sorry, this was in the bag to be recycled tomorrow. It will be put in. This is a battery backup. A lot of places out here can lose electricity. So as long as this is plugged into this, which is the base unit, it still works. They can, if they don't have electricity, no phone service, they can still get through the 911. This is the pendant that they wear around the neck. It is a little bigger, it's a little heavier, but it is like a cell phone. As soon as you press this blue button, they come on within probably 2 or 3 seconds, and we know that for a fact because Darlene has hit it before by mistake. And they came on right away. So this is the unit, this is what we're paying for, and this is what we give out. We also have disclaimer papers that we use, that we ask them to sign, saying that we're not responsible. If anything happens to them or to the unit or to anything else, they can't sue us, the senior tax board, or the company, okay? We also leave them a book. I had to call up the company, and they were nice enough. They sent us out some more books, which you might probably need some more, too. And on each one of these, I put my name and my home phone number in case they have a problem with it, and I do get calls. But like I said, and of course, there's the lockbox. We use certain codes for this. Everybody's code. You don't get to pick yours out. We use most people's date of birth. And we found that that's the best way because they don't forget it. And their family members know what it is also then. But I do want to know, these are not, when we give these to people, we're loaning them out.
We expect to get them back someday, and we hope we do. These have a life, they said, of 3 to 5 years. Yeah, and the batteries will have to be replaced in there in 3 to 5 years, too. And they're very expensive. So chances are we'd probably be just as well to get another grant and go back and replace the battery box. But also, like Bonnie was saying, we only have about, what, 12 names on our list?
Not even that. We have eight.
Eight, okay, on our list, of waiting list. They have a lot more people down over in Western Payne County. Okay.
Well, that's why we have. Could part of it be because the general populace doesn't know that the service is available, or?
We advertise it. We have it in the newspaper. When the Senior Services Tax Board had 4 different meetings, Ridgedale, Cedar Creek, Pro Tem, well, nobody showed up at Bradleyville. And we talked about it then, and at that time, from Cedar Creek and Reuter, we got quite a few phone calls, and we have gotten those in already. So we're not really sure if we need that many more. For one thing, I worry about keeping track of them. Yeah.
We feel like we would definitely have a need for the 150. We have not actively been, letting people know. They started getting such a long list that they more or less said, hey, we don't know whether we're going to get any more money. We don't know whether we have any more. But they did contact those 50 that were on the list, and they are still wanting them. Of course, when they went out to check the original ones, there were a lot of them that said, oh, my neighbor really wants one of those. Do you think that my neighbor can get one? So there's a definite need out there.
The only thing that they're required to do, the citizen is required to do, is keep a landline phone, because it only works with a landline service, because that will come into dispatch. A cellular phone will not work.
And our care coordinators know how to go about applying for I'm not sure what they call it, but it's a phone landline service. It's $9.99 plus tax a month if somebody's using a cell phone and they don't have a landline at this time. They can usually help them get that, and then that way we can go ahead and put them in.
But outside of that potential expense, there's no expense to the citizen whatsoever.
Right. Yeah, they have to buy an extra key.
An extra key.
For the house to put in the box. Yes. I myself, and I think Bonnie, Darlene, Tammy will say, it is a great program.
I just have one question. The transmitter that you wear around your neck, what is the distance from the base unit that will work?
Well, the reason that these are so heavy...
I'm Darlene Kagan, one of the volunteers I put it into. It's because it is a cell phone, and they speak to the 911 operator straight through the microphone in here, which is why we stress upon them that it is paramount that they wear it all the time and not leave it on the kitchen cabinet and fall down in the bathroom. It will cover an area in the house, unlike the other brand of Life Alert. You need to be near the base for it to work, very close to the base. This will cover an area of 3,500 square feet in the house and the perimeter of your house. We have one lady that we put in not too long ago that lives just off of 160, and her question was, what about the ditch where I burn? I said, let's go check. And how you can check is the button on the bottom that checks will tell you that the system is working right, or you'll get a red light and it'll say that system check failed. So then you know that you are out of your safe area for using it outside of your house. But it works quite a distance outside of the house. She had a huge backyard and it worked all the way down to her burn ditch.
Well, first, I want to commend both Forsyth and the Branson Senior Services Centers for pursuing this, because I think it's a valuable tool and life-saving device that's offered to the citizens of this county. And quite frankly, I'm hopeful that this county commission will send a letter of encouragement to the Senior Services Board, encouraging them to further support this program, because it is extremely important. And I would write that letter if I had y'all's permission to. I see two nods. We'll use that for the record as to move forward. But again, I had a call from someone who obviously didn't know that this was offered and was very concerned, and even asked me to check into Christian County, which I did, to see what they were doing. So I'm delighted that we're already way ahead of the ball game here.
I would like to say that the commissioners have done a very good job in appointing the people to the Senior Services Tax Board. They're very understanding. They listen to the public, and seniors usually know what we need, and they listen to us, and they work with us very well. And I thank you for us appointing them. They do a great job.
Ladies, thanks very much for your comments this morning.
Thank you.
What's called Life Guardians, or Guardian Alert? I'm looking at the wrong one.
Accounts payable.
Motion for approval. Oh, go ahead, Brian. You get the list.
Here
we
go.
Move to approve checks number 334239 through 334296, warrants 5801 and 5802.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve accounts payable checks number 334239 through 334296 and warrants 5801 and 5802. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Approval of payroll.
Motion for approval of payroll.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded for approval of payroll. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Previous meeting minutes.
Move to approve minutes 5:30, 6:17, 6:20, and 6:24 with changes?
Second.
Or corrections, excuse me.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve prior county commission minutes dated May 30th, June 17th, June 20th, and June 24th with changes, with corrections, excuse me. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Road and Bridge, and TCTAB recommendation on transportation prioritization study will be part of this. Good morning, gentlemen.
In April, we put out an RFQ for engineering to do an upgrade to our list of road improvements, a prioritization matrix that the Transportation Board come up with to prioritize the list, and we need to do upgrades to that list, remove projects that's been done, and the Transportation Board will receive two different companies, HDR and Allen Brand and Drews and Associates, was the two companies that submitted RFQs, and the Transportation Board is recommending HDR to do the upgrades. Do you want a RFQ?
So there was
number?
An RFQ that went
right.
out, and we were asking engineering companies if they would be interested in or would submit their request for qualifications to provide an upgrade to our transportation prioritization study?
Yes, the
okay,
list,
right.
list of projects.
And so the recommendation that has come to us is that we, in fact, approve HDR or award this to HDR?
Correct.
I guess I'm not. So what are we awarding?
There was a transportation prioritization study that was done in the past, and now there needs to be an update to that study.
To that.
And that would involve what, Randy? Explain that.
That would involve having an engineering group, HDR, which done the initial prioritization, do upgrades to this list and bringing in new projects, whatever the board recommends.
Explain what it is. Explain what the study is, Randy.
Basically, the study.
Is this, you know, the meetings that I've been to, is that the sheet that you guys have
shown me? That's okay. The 41 projects. We need to do upgrades to this list, and that's, it's fairly complex in how they rate these on several different priority. Type things, safety, different things, traffic. So basically, that's what they're recommending is awarding. Actually, they can't. They can recommend, only you guys can approve.
And the recommendation to us for HDR is coming through whom?
The Transportation Board.
County Transport, okay.
Motion for approval of the recommendation of the Transportation Board for HDR to be the company used for the prioritization study 201304-219.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to accept the recommendation from the Transportation Board of HDR to provide the update to the prioritization study 201304-219. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed say nay. Motion carries. Was that our sole discussion this morning from Road and Bridge, or are there other issues, Randy?
Our next issue is, what do we want to do with our Road and Bridge office?
I was ill last Thursday and was not here. Was there further discussion at that time?
We did have further discussion with Brandon and Danny, and Steve and I went back over after our initial discussion about the building and done some more investigating some of the problems we had, and we're finding a lot of condensation issues within the walls, and primarily due to the whole attic system. There's no venting within that, anything above the ceiling. So that's created part of the problem. Actually, the stucco, we've got loose stucco, we've got bad windows, we've got an awning that needs replaced, we've got a sidewalk needs replaced, so there's several things that we're going to need to do.
Wasn't there something also in the floor?
In the floor?
Mm-hmm. With the concrete slab that it sits on, or was I mistaken?
I don't know that there's any issue with the floor right now. I think the floor is going to be fine, but we haven't had any issues. The only issues we had there is just water that was from the wall system. That was.
This building went up, if I'm not mistaken, probably when the town was moved up here.
I have no idea.
The business beside it, it's definitely two different buildings, so it's been a...
It was previous.
So that question's been answered, that there's two separate walls.
Two separate walls.
There's not. There's probably, you've got probably, from what I can see, you've got, an inch to inch and a half gap between the blocks on the road bridge and the business there beside it.
Well, having looked at that, whenever that was that we went through it, 10 days, 2 weeks ago, I can't remember. And seeing the shape that that's in, knowing what we've poured into that building over the course of the last few years, and suspecting what we're going to be pouring into that building in the future, I can't help but think that putting a new building in that place in the long run is going to benefit the county personally.
The vault itself can be, because it's totally concrete vault, so it can be saved. Brandon had mentioned something about the outer walls and stuff. That
was the old Groom Abstracting Company, right? That's why that vault was there.
Right. And a new construction of a new facility with the saving of the vault and the floor, if there's not anything, will be fine. But I think total demolition with a new building up is the cheapest way to go myself, and that's what I would propose.
Well, would that be something we'd do or we would have done?
That's one of the, with the workload that we've got going on right now, we're going to have, we come up with people to put on it to get it done in a timely manner. We're either going to pull people off some road work and let some of our road work go to get that done, or hire extra people to help out. But it is going to limit us.
Any idea, wild ballpark figure, what it would, we might have to pay to have someone else demolish that building?
Yeah, put it out for bid and just come up with that. Randy, give us $125,000 estimate for replacement. A general idea. He didn't nail it down, to that figure. But he did talk about $125,000 to replace the building.
How long would it take to put that up, do you think?
I don't know. We're on, but one thing, the cost of the demolition, I don't know what it's going to cost. We have got power lines to contend with. The other buildings, right beside it, it's definitely going to take a little bit to do.
If we do a complete demolition, I'm assuming the building's pretty much built to the specs of the lot. Is that?
I would assume, yes, because they're from where I tore off. There's not much room to play with between it and other buildings.
If we tear it out, are we going to have to do different setbacks? Is it going to make the building have to be smaller than what it is?
You talk to the power company?
Not even the power company, as much as the city.
Right. I haven't talked to anybody with the city yet. I need to speak with them. The power company, there's one incoming line that services Powell's Drug. That would have to be rerouted. That's not going to be a major problem to reroute it. That's the only power line that would come into play as far as the building. We can't go any higher with the structure because of utilities. There's a minimum distance we have to stay away from certain power lines. So
we wouldn't be able to put
We're limited to a single-story building.
Would we be able to redo the pitch on the roof then?
Basically, the water is going to have to drain toward the back of the building. That's where it currently drains. A new structure would have to be draining similar place. So, now as far as pitch on the roof, I would suggest putting more of a pitch in that.
Well, how tall is that? Is our ceiling now, or the roof, I should say?
Your ceiling, you've got the inside. You're talking.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, it's 8.5 foot, 9 foot, but you've got two.
We've got two different. We've got the original ceiling in there up at the bottom of the existing trusses, and then we have the drop ceiling below it that was installed.
I guess my point is we don't have to build that building back as high as it's currently standing, right? We can do something different, perhaps, with the roof?
Well, you can do something different, but you're going to have enough pitch on your roof to
come to a gutter and
have drains.
Well, yeah, because your drain's in the back, on the back of the building. And it's a big drain that goes down, I'm assuming, into where it drains out in the road. I do not know. But you got to have enough pitch for a snow load and everything else. I mean, you can just...
Right.
And if we come back, what kind of material would you use for the exterior walls if you come back? If you demo it and come back with a new building?
If I was going to do it, it'd be a 2-6 wall. Yeah. But if you did demo it, you still on the wall towards the other business there. I mean, in my opinion, you just can't throw a 2-6. You still, even though it's going against another block wall, I think you need to put something in there because you're going to have you've got to get it sealed up. If you drop your height of your building where your other one is, you're going to have to be sure you've got to get sealed there. Great.
You're going to have more issues with a 2-6, even if it's. Unless you go steel studs, and I'm sure you're going to have to use steel studs.
As far as that goes, you could lay blocks back up.
Why take the ones out that are there that are still good?
That's not my decision, but...
That was another concern. Is it possible to take out all the interior to do a little more investigation on it to find out how stable is that current block wall? Could you replace the whole roof system without compromising the block wall? I mean, remove that whole roof system and then go back with a similar type, but just new within the block wall structure itself. Replace the windows.
But I think you'd have a hard time getting that roof tore out of there and leaving block walls because of the roof system that it is. It's like a rubber type.
It may be difficult taking that off there. I don't know.
That same roof system's over the vault, or is the vault completely squared off in concrete?
It's separate. It's all concrete. It's separated.
I think the roof system goes right up over the...
Sets on the vault, doesn't it?
Yeah.
At one time, the roof and the ceiling height was about probably 11.
10 feet or something. It was fairly high, like by the older buildings.
With the...
That's not a very wide vault, is it, if I'm remembering?
It's half,
is it? 8-10 feet?
It's half the width of the building, which... You probably got a good 10 feet inside by 11, 12 feet in length.
Just talking about the demolition, with everything that's involved in the permitting and the power lines and everything like that, I think we just go out for bid on somebody to demo it. The boys are busy. I know that's going to be an added, quite an added cost, but whoever comes in there to do that's going to be equipped to do it and go through all the inspection process and get it done. It'll take them less time to demo it than it has for us to talk about it.
Well, what's our next step, gentlemen?
My recommendation is to have Mr. Erickson go out for bid for the demo and at the same time go out for bid for the building, or if they demo it, Biggs, we visited, and with everything that you've got going on, I don't think that there's any way that we could throw a crew on it and build it ourselves, so we just go out for bid for the whole thing. Is that what you'd recommend?
As far as time and stuff, I think that'd be the best option. But that's your all decision, I mean.
Then we had to look at prevailing wages and a lot more expenses, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not just, I mean, pretty substantial difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Our crew, I mean.
Well, my estimate cost was basically expecting us to be doing that, so I don't know how much different that would make that.
I wouldn't be surprised, but double.
All right, I would say double on that. I know.
We're better off hiring a couple temps. And
I contacted a couple people at different places of business, and you know, they more or less told me that you're looking probably at least $100 a square foot. And you know what? I mean, from what they was telling me, that's nothing real, you know, no bells and whistles on a house, but for residential property, as far as commercial, I couldn't. Was something like what? I don't know what they'd tell you on it. I think it was what, 1,200?
Yeah, 1,275 square feet, basically 25 by 51, and we could stay within that footprint. But
my suggestion is let's let Randy check with the city of Forsyth, see if there's any building restrictions, see what we need to comply with. We need to check with utility company to see what's going to be involved with moving of electricity for the pharmacy and whomever else that that's connected to. And in fact, chat with Mr. Erickson, who just came in, to begin the preliminary stages of looking if in fact that's the way we're going to go. I'm a bit squeamish about paying twice because of what would be required under prevailing wage, but or not twice, but double, if that's in fact what it would be. Can we not go out for bids and ask a contractor who has to take all those things into consideration to set a price on what it's going to cost for the demolition and the building of that building and live within that? Is that, I don't know how that works. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, they can do both. I mean, it would have been nice. It's a lot easier if the thing was a slick surface. Whenever I was going to ask Biggsy about that, when your contractors consider the floors already existing with the plumbing and the floor and everything, it was $100 a square foot.
Yeah, and one thing also you got to take into consideration when you turn that building down, I mean, the block's going all the way. From the best I can tell, you know, they've laid the block up and then come in for the concrete.
So it's on the outside, with on an outside footing?
Best
hopefully,
kill.
Hopefully, because yeah. It's cracked the way it's cracked, and it's a it's not uniformly cracked, the walls. And so that makes me wonder if it's not set on a sand foundation or something.
And then, you know, when you, if you decide to demolition down, you know, when you get down there to the floor level, you need to kind of take some precaution not to just go crazy.
Mm-hmm. Break it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Or it's going to just cause a lot more work than what you had to start with, you know. I mean,
sure would be nice if we could do it ourselves, but I don't know. It's just too many factors, I think, for us to consider with the power coming in.
Would one of you two volunteer to work with R&B to come back with a full proposal on this?
Work with Randy on it, you mean, as far as...
I mean, it'd be interesting to discover it, but gosh, we've got building setbacks now, so we have to build a smaller building, or we've got such and such. So there's some things that need to be taken care of. But if one of us serves as the liaison, then Randy doesn't have to formally come back and meet with us each time, can meet with the liaison, and then the liaison and Randy can come back and chat with us about whatever has been discovered.
I don't care to do that, but...
Well, I mean, basically, your guys' suggestion is we demo and rebuild. We want to salvage the vault, leave it intact.
Give us the options. It may be that...
I'm still not sold on a complete demo. If there's no cracks in the concrete blocks, if they're still good, why tear them?
Well, if we put in the bid, could they...
They could do both.
Remove the whole interior... Then at that point, we'd get a good look at the walls. I mean, if some of the cracking we see outside, but we didn't see it in the upper part of the wall, but we didn't tear out enough to get a good visual look at some of the areas that we've seen the cracking.
Right.
In those blocks that are currently there, they're not filled with concrete, right?
Well, that was hard to tell. I mean, we were trying to find out some of that, and part of them may appear to be filled, but I can't answer that.
So we've got stucco on the outside.
We've got stucco on the outside, and we didn't disturb the existing roof system. And
what kind of insulation do we have in the walls? I guess that's where I'm headed.
That's part of the problem.
There's no insulation.
Well, on one part, on the back part of it, they more or less deferred the stucco out with this a 1x strip. When they did that, they put a half-inch foam Siltex board in between furnace strips, and then they put paneling on where you had about an eighth to quarter inch of airspace. Didn't have no room to breathe. And when I took and tore the paneling off and then tore the Siltex out between the furnace strips, I mean, there was water condensation on the backside of it. I mean, they didn't have no room for nothing to breathe. Now, on the front part of the building, They did fur it out about an inch and a half, and there was still condensation on the backside of some of the Siltex, but it wasn't near as bad as what it was towards the back of the building. But as far as you have stucco on the inside of the blocks too, I mean, you could go in and strip all that out and see what you got then. I mean, where the stucco is, parts of it, I couldn't tell you without going on the inside, stripping it all off and stripping all that stucco. There's no way for me to really tell you, Ron, what them blocks. Only thing I can tell you is what me and Randy looked at on the upper part of it.
What if we took we got to move some of the furniture out because we're going to do something with it anyway, so I need to move that. I can get that done this week. But what if we took one section and stripped out a small section of it just to get a look at what we think the blocks look like or the stucco looks like, and maybe that would answer that question. I'd like to do it in the area where we're finding one of them cracks that we can see on the outside just to get a good look at it.
The thing about our crew doing it is, you can, that'd be fine, is we could do a complete, everything interior, start doing all the walls, and then we'd have everything be exposed. Then you'd be able to look at it, and then you'd know what you're dealing with, and then make a decision from there, okay, are we going to go ahead and knock out the walls, or are we going to leave them?
Well, you know, what if in fact we allow our crew to do any part of that, we're taking away from work that our crews are going to be doing somewhere else that we budgeted for and had planned on doing within the county. If what you just suggested, however, would take that long, right?
I can't imagine taking that long, but I don't know.
We could do that. Would give us some idea as to...
It'd give us a better, more information to make a better decision.
On the wall towards Powell's, the pharmacy there, I mean, from the front to the vault, you can, or that's where I expose the window. And there is another window like that on up towards the front of the building. I didn't tear any sheetrock out where to see if they put Celotex or had any sweating problems or anything there. But, you know, a lot of that is covered up by the length of the vault. And then you go into the back room where it's got a lot of woodwork and stuff on the walls. I mean,
there's not a great deal of temperature change there with an exposed wall like we have on the other side of the building.
When the county first got that building, did we renovate the front of that? Do you remember?
I can't really remember, Ron. I know...
Seems like we did something, but I'm...
Do what now?
I was wondering if when the county first acquired that building, if we renovated, the county renovated the front of the building.
Not the exact front of the building. They've done all the interior, totally remodeled the whole interior except for, I think, the back room.
Yeah, they mess with
early 2000. But I think the front of the building was already had that.
So that skylight was already back there?
The skylight was already there. The awning was pre-existing. I think some of the brickwork. But, I mean, totally inside, I think they re-sheetrocked and dropped ceiling.
Did Carl and Jay Lee do the remodeling?
No. No, this was after them. This was, Don Swan and Ron Hershen, just when they first come in office. They were first here, and then they moved over here to that building. They acquired that, and that's when they went in and remodeled and went into that building.
I think you need to talk to the city and find out first just what kind of, if there's going to be setbacks, what we're grandfathered in with.
I think replacement would probably be grandfathered, but, I mean, they may have a whole segment. That's the thing to do.
I'll go get with the city then.
I chatted with the mayor, and we're going to get together and talk about a number of different issues, just he and I, but I can also follow up with him on that.
Okay.
We're going to try to see where we can work together. You're going to move some furniture out. You're going to do a little more digging into the building, come up with a couple more answers.
Yeah.
Going to talk with the city of Forsyth.
Right.
Okay.
And we'll kind of go from there. We'll have a little more of a...
What else, Randy?
That's all I have.
We, in our last meeting, we discussed a couple of temporary employees. I talked to Renee. I guess you visited with her this morning, and you have a need for those temporaries more than what we probably anticipated for the maintenance portion. So maybe that's a discussion we need to have about the temps for road and bridge and the temps for maintenance instead of the combination of the two is the way that I thought we were going to handle that. So there may be something we need to discuss about that later on. She got two. She's got two out now, doesn't she, with maintenance? And then
I think so.
and then the need
for another one for sure.
Gentlemen, without any objection, let's stand in recess until 11 o'clock, at which time we'll go into executive session.